My study I chose today is the idea of God and how He made man. The great Creator describes Himself in His making of man and several parts of man's life. But I believe during this season of the year will be very useful to you and me to talk about it for a few minutes this morning. Go first with me to Hebrews 12 and verse 9, a very familiar verse. I'd like for us to have it by memory by the time I get through with the work here in years to come, Lord willing. And that's the idea of we all have fathers of the flesh, and we reverence them. Much more should we reverence God, who's the Father of our spirit, that we may live. In the midst of describing a need for chastisement of children so that they will grow as they should, lifting up their hands and guiding their feeble knees, not death blows being administered to them, but rather a chastisement. As it were, that word means a slapping the wrist. Now, I know in our jurisprudence today, we think about somebody being slapped on the wrist, getting a light sentence based on the terrible deeds they've done, that it's too light. It's just a slap on the wrist. But between people who love one another and care about one another, a slap on the wrist is a rejection of a way that's being practiced, and that is taken very seriously by the person who has that kind of slap on the wrist. And so it is that the God of heaven, who loves His children, who chastises them with that love, wants them to say, whoa, wait, stop, don't do this anymore, cease this kind of practice, wait on this to be a way of life for themselves. Notice we have two fathers. One, the father of our flesh. Our fathers and our mothers are our flesh. We obtain the calcium and the bone fibers and all that goes along with the egg cells that are involved with our coming to be. And here we are, fathers of the flesh. We reverence them. Obviously, we do because we have their life from them. The first of the great Ten Commandments toward man's relationship to his fellow man is honor thy father and thy mother. Paul refers to it as the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou may live long upon the earth. The idea for us to grow up believing in our fathers and our mothers and thanking them for the fact that we live and we exist and working with them is a wonderful way of life for the flesh. But secondly, we must come to age to realize that we all have fathers of the flesh, but we also have God, who's the Father of our spirit. And the fact that we would live eternally with Him and live in His presence forever and ever is made possible when we respect Him also. We respect the Heavenly Father because the Heavenly Father's will is a will that is beyond mankind. The Heavenly Father will look over us and care for us, sent the Savior to redeem us, and the whole hope of glory is wrapped up in the love of the Heavenly Father for us. So it is that we love Him in return. We do not go out there on that limb and saw that limb off behind us. We know that on a real tree, to saw the limb off behind you means that you're going to fall with the limb that goes down. 15 feet later, or 18 feet later, or 22 feet later, you'll realize the vanity of sawing the limb off behind yourself. You just don't do that. And so it is that God, being the Father of our spirit, that we may live, is the idea, don't saw that limb off behind you. Don't cut relationships with God, who's the Father of our spirit, because He offers us the opportunity to really live. When Jesus came to this earth and did His redemptive work, He described to the disciples and to the others of the world, and John wrote it down, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. A very familiar verse of John 10 and verse 10. But notice that in this connection of this lesson today, the idea is that we don't saw off our relationship with God. The idea is that Jesus came to give us life, and life more abundantly. That life that He promises there in Hebrews 12 at verse 9 is not just the physical life. The fact that we already live physically, we owe to our fathers and our mothers. But the fact of the matter is that we have a faith and trust in the Heavenly Father, who's the Father of our spirit, that means we really live, is the idea of that. That we really live. And so it is that relationship with God is important. How did He make us? Well, you say, well, he made us out of the dust of the ground, and fashioned man out of the dust of the earth. And that Eve was made from the side and from the rib of Adam. And those are the physical sides of things, of course. But how did he make us? Well, he made Adam and Eve. Go back to them again in Genesis 2 and 3. He gave them ears to hear, two ears to hear. So when it said, well, that the Lord gave us two eyes to see, two ears to hear, one mouth to speak. Must be that he wanted us to see things twice as much and hear things twice as often as we speak things. We know what the mouth can do. James says in James 3, it is an unruly world of its own, that it's an evil within itself, and that if we with the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. So it is that we need to use our mouths in a proper and good way. Our Lord Jesus, in the midst of his ministry in Matthew 12, noted us in this regard, that we are people who speak words that we do not charge the ways of God. Words of blasphemy are not good of God. And so it is that we choose to speak words, because by our words we'll be justified, and by our words we will be condemned. The fact that we live in a relationship with God is evident with Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden, the paradise that was there, the dressing hill, the garden, all the things that are said there in regard to it, tell us that man could understand the reasoning of God. He is a physical being, he has ears and eyes to hear and see, but he can understand with his mind the will of the Heavenly Father. And thus Adam and Eve knew enough to know that when they ate of that fruit that God had forbidden them, that they immediately hid themselves when they heard the Lord coming in the cool of the day. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the fruit that I commanded thee not? Of course, they had to admit that they had. And Adam admitted it in a human nature way. He said, well, this woman that you gave to me, she gave that fruit to me, and I did eat. And the woman did it in the human nature way, too. She said, this serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Someone as well said the serpent had nowhere to go but his own belly, and he had to take the blame for it all. Well, in one way, he did have blame. He would go in his belly, therefore. But you know, Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. A paradise. There were no earthquakes in that garden, no tornadoes in that garden, no houses to build, no all the other things of life that would become necessities for life. They had everything there. But they were cast out of that garden into a world of uncertainty. And in